I think her story is so strong. Like, she said it so effortlessly. Well, one, she just came out the gate, like, going on about herself. And I just was like, there's so much confidence in how she carries herself. And as much as she's going to vocalize her self-doubt, it was another story of just like, yeah, I had to do this really young, and then I kind of was like, fuck it, I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to continue to keep being a badass, and I'm just going to keep, like, taking every opportunity I have that's going to come my way that I didn't think I could take, and then here I am. I started a business, and it's growing, and I want to keep growing, and then I want to do this, and I'm just like, whoa. Like, it's rare to find people like that nowadays, and I love hearing that she came from a really good childhood and that she had a really good support system, and it seems like everything is just so organic to where she is. I think that she's just going to keep riding on this, like, really good trajectory of everything that's just been accomplished for her.
Usually those stories that you hear that she talked about what she's doing comes in a braggadocious tone. Not her. Mm-mm. At all. And it struck me that she, you know, when you were talking about the motivation versus the discipline, mm-hmm. and again, she recognizes what she recognizes in herself, but I kind of wonder if that motivation is subconscious in her, that she's doing it for her family and community. And the motivation's always there, whether she recognizes it or not, because how important it is to do what she's doing. She knows she's making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you recognize it or not, sometimes and that's okay. It can live in your subconscious, but it's that motivation is there, and she's lucky. A lot of people don't get to do that for right. their families and community.
Yeah, I think the thing about entrepreneurs in general, it runs in every entrepreneur ever, is that they are perfectionists. They're never going to think they're going to be doing good enough, or they're not doing more than they should be doing more than they are. But I think for everything that's been happening for her, it seems like it was the right place and the right time. And like, the commission story was wild to me, because I was like, bro, I'd never fucking do that. I'm like, I fucking hate sales. I'd never put myself in a financially unstable position to conquer that fear. And I don't think she saw the gravity of what that was, because that's just her like willpower. She's like motivated, and yeah, we talked about motivation, but like, she's just ambitious, I guess I should use that word, with like this ability that like nothing is impossible. There's like, obviously she never really kind of vocalized self-doubt that much in this episode, but like, for me, I would be so far removed. I would not even try that. I'm like, no, I don't, like, that's just fucking wild to me. Like, everything that she's gone about, like, she couldn't speak English, so she put herself in a situation that is an English speaking only situation, and then learn the language. She put herself in a sales position that is a commission base where you don't have consistent inflow of cash. And then you're putting yourself in a situation where you have to grow up really early in life. And then she's like, yeah, I had no problem with it. And I'm like, dude, like, that's fucking wild. I'm like, I would have had so many outbursts, and I would have not been able to stay that disciplined. But that's like the power of, like, I think,
not knowing any better.
Yeah, I was going to say.
She had to leave at 11. And that was what you, and probably still have to do, to get an education in Columbia. I'm assuming that's, or you're back on the, she mentioned that, but didn't do it, I'm back on the farm.
Yeah.
And she didn't want to do that. And her parents didn't want her to be either. They said, there's no future for you here.
I love that, like, she was talking about how she's really happy when she goes back on the farm, because it's like, she's happy and everyone's happy, and it's because they're satisfied with their life. And it's stuff like that that make me really happy, because it just goes to show that you don't need much to be happy in life. And like, their community is enough for them. What they are producing is enough for them. Obviously they want more. You get what I'm trying to say. But like, I just, this story warmed my heart more than anything. It's another one of those, like, feeling fuzzy on the inside kind of moments. I feel like I really didn't have to do much on this episode this time. I feel like these last few episodes I've been talking a lot. I've been integrating myself a little bit more into the discussions, but she just came off and was just like, like, she just had so much shit to say, and she seemed so excited to, like, talk about it all. And as much as someone who is claiming that she's not good at English, she was really eloquent. I'm saying, like, the perfectionist in her comes out in different aspects that were part of this episode. But overall, it was just, yeah. I just love her attitude. Like, it's just like, she's the type of person that I'd want in my life if I need somebody to motivate me to just do it, which is funny. We were talking how much motivation has been a part of this episode, is that I feel like if I had her in my life, there'd be a consistent, like, positive spirit of, like, an opportunist and just taking life by the balls and just going for it versus a lot of people. It's, like, hard to find that anymore.
Well, it's hard to find the motivation when you're in an industry, and this can be any industry, that is just downbeaten all the time.
Yeah.
You just kind of go, why am I going to this again today? Why am I going this again today? I still think it's that subconscious motivation that she's doing great for family and she's doing great for her community. That's a huge driver.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge driver. And in the industry overall, too. She's actually an innovator. She's doing some things that's like, wow, you're doing that? That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That, who would have thought that would have happened, let's say, 5 years ago, 10 years ago?
Yeah,
you know, if you think about it.
She kept saying how, like, everything that she had been experiencing, she had never planned for. Like, the opportunity to come to America, she didn't think of doing that. The opportunity to study abroad, she wasn't thinking of doing that. And she said she didn't have the original plan to go back to coffee. So it was like everything seemed to be like a little like door that was left ajar. And it was just like, what is behind door number one? How about door number two? How about door number three? And then every door, it seemed, had kept opening other doors towards the path that she's on now. And it's just, yeah, there's like, I don't know. There's this particular episode just seems like there's really nothing. It's so point blank, period, you know? Like, for somebody who said that the cultural shock of how blunt and direct we are, she's very good at being direct with a lot of what she was saying.
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the phrase comes to mind. I mean, it's usually with the, you can't take the boy out of the country, but you can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. Mm-hmm. It'd be for her. You can take the girl out of the country,
mm-hmm.
but you can't take the country out of the girl.
Mm-hmm.
The farm.
Yeah.
She had a great experience there. Or she loved it. Joy, that sort of thing. Yeah. And I think that's something that she wants to continue to relish in.
Mm-hmm.
And continue that for her family, too. So, yeah. Oh, no. She's point blank in your face. I wouldn't want to negotiate with her. She'd be tough.
I don't think she'd be tough. I think
she knows she has a good product.
I think that
representing something good, it's like, no, you're not going to screw us over.
There's like a personal approach to the things that she's been doing. And because she seems so sure of herself, mm-hmm. it's so convincing in itself. Like, whatever she's like presenting, I feel like she's convinced that this is good. And there's trust behind that. And I think she said to herself that she's pretty gullible. So, but I feel like if she was to come up to me and be like, hey, this is the product I have, like, it would just be such a personal approach, and it'd be really hard to, like, turn that down.
Mm-hmm.
I hate salespeople that are just all about the pitch and not about the delivery.
Well, and she mentioned something about that, you know, she still has the accent. I'm going, oh, man, don't lose that accent. No, because that's your connection.
Yeah, I feel like that's a very immigrant problem that, like, immigrants struggle with.
Don't.
That they don't sound American. Yeah, and I'm like, well.
Because then people will question it as well, going, oh, wait a minute, you say you're from there, but mm-hmm. where's your accent? You know?
I mean, it's always going to be under scrutiny.
Yeah, always.
Immigrants who come here and they're like, well, you aren't from here, so, yeah.
Keep it. Oh, my gosh, never lose that. Never lose that. No.
Yeah, I mean, like, over time, the longer you live in America, the more it'll come over time. But in general, I feel like this, like, self-hatred of, like, not being able to be eloquent with the English language is so stupid. Like, you just need the basics. You don't need to be fucking Shakespeare talking to people on the street. Half the time, people can't fucking understand Shakespeare. Like, talk trash, talk dumb. No one's going to say anything otherwise.
Even growing up here and learning the language, we still don't have a grasp on it. Come on.
Literally.
Oh, my gosh. You know, no. She's doing great. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Good for her.